Welcome to the Creative Biolabs Science Channel. At Creative Biolabs, we specialize in providing customized viral research services and a vast array of viral antibodies to researchers. Tune into our podcast series for intriguing insights into the world of viruses, and make sure to subscribe to stay updated with our latest episodes.
Good evening, dear listeners. Thank you for joining us once again on the Creative Biolabs podcast series. We're thrilled to have Professor Williams back with us. Last time, we delved into the fascinating world of virus classification. What topic are we exploring today, Professor?
Good evening to all our listeners. It's great to be back. Today, we're going to discuss the life cycle of viruses.
That sounds intriguing. We know that reproduction is closely linked to the life cycle. Previously, we touched on how during virus replication, the genome depends on the capsid to enter the host cell. Does the capsid carry other substances as well?
Absolutely. The capsid is more than just a protective shell for the viral genetic material. It also carries various proteins. These proteins are introduced into the host cell at the onset of infection, kickstarting the viral gene expression process. Essentially, a virion, which is a capsid containing a functional viral genome, is the fundamental unit of infection.
It seems the capsid is crucial in reproduction. Given that different viruses have varied structures, do their capsids differ as well?
That's an excellent question. While the simplest virions may have capsids made up of just one or two proteins, more complex virions feature robust capsids composed of numerous viral proteins arranged in intricate patterns. Virion proteins can be categorized into structural and non-structural types. Structural proteins shape and organize the virion's appearance, whereas non-structural proteins are primarily involved in enzymatic activities essential for viral infection and replication. If we think of the virion as a vehicle, the structural proteins provide the framework, much like the vehicle's body, while the non-structural proteins handle functional operations, akin to the vehicle's engine and control systems.
These proteins are vital for viral replication, then. How exactly do they function in this process?
Each virus, with its unique virions and proteins, ensures that these virion-carried non-structural proteins enhance viral gene transcription. This setup allows the virus to quickly express crucial replication genes as soon as it enters a new cell, giving it a significant advantage in initiating infection. Moreover, these proteins often help the virus evade host defenses, allowing it to rapidly produce large quantities of viral proteins to overpower the cell.
Fascinating insights into the virus replication process. Could you walk us through the complete life cycle of a virus?
Certainly. Like animals, which go through birth, growth, reproduction, and death, viruses follow a life cycle comprising several key steps: attachment, penetration, uncoding, gene expression, genome replication, assembly, and release. It starts with the virus particle attaching to specific molecules on the host cell surface, which act as receptors.
Interesting comparison. Does this mean viruses evolve much faster than humans?
Indeed, viruses have a much shorter life cycle, typically spanning minutes to days, compared to the human generational span of 20 to 30 years. This rapid cycle allows viruses to undergo many thousands of generations within the lifespan of one human generation, accelerating their evolution significantly. This rapid mutation rate is why viruses like HIV can quickly become resistant to drugs, and why the influenza virus needs new vaccines every year.
That explains the rapid development of drug resistance. Speaking of life cycle beginnings, how do viruses initially attach to the host cell surface?
Viral attachment involves precise interactions between viral proteins on the particle surface and receptor molecules on the cell. While our cells did not evolve to accommodate viruses, viruses have evolved their proteins to effectively bind to specific cell molecules, securing a foothold for infection.
In our daily lives, various viruses causing different diseases. Some viruses cause respiratory infections, some cause gastrointestinal diseases, and some cause skin infections. How does this specificity play out?
This tendency to infect certain organ systems or cell types, known as viral tropism. Viral tropism, or the tendency to infect specific body systems, is largely dictated by the availability of receptors on certain cell types. For instance, if a virus binds to receptors only found in the respiratory tract, it will cause respiratory symptoms. The disease manifestations depend on where these receptors are distributed within the body. Therefore, the site of viral infection and the corresponding clinical symptoms mainly depend on the distribution of receptor molecules in our different organ systems.
Since all viral infections begin by attaching to cells that carry specific receptors, could blocking this initial step prevent the spread of the virus in our bodies and ward off infection?
Yes. Targeting the interaction between viruses and their receptors is a key strategy of our immune system. When viruses invade, our immune system identifies the surface proteins on the virus particles as foreign antigens, then starts producing antibodies that bind to these antigens. This action effectively coats the virus particle and prevents it from interacting with its receptors. However, when we first encounter a new virus, it usually takes about 5 to 10 days for antibody production to ramp up to effective levels, and during this period, we're susceptible to getting sick. As antibody levels increase, they help neutralize the virus, aiding in recovery. Our body also builds immune memory, which allows us to respond faster if we face the same virus again, preventing repeated infections. This is also the principle behind vaccination.
That makes sense. Even though attachment is the first critical step in a virus's life cycle, the virus particles are still outside the cell at this point. How do these particles then enter the cell?
Viruses have evolved mechanisms to cross into the cell membrane, ensuring their entry into the cytoplasm. One common method is endocytosis, which is utilized by both non-enveloped and some enveloped viruses. This process begins when the virus binds to its receptor, causing the cell membrane to invaginate. This invagination eventually closes off, forming a vesicle that encapsulates the virus particle inside the cytoplasm. Another method used primarily by enveloped viruses is membrane fusion, where the viral envelope merges with the cell membrane, allowing the virus to enter the cell directly. Through these methods, viruses bypass the membrane barrier and start converting the cell into a factory for virus replication.
After the virus penetrates the cell using these methods, what happens to the viral genome still wrapped inside?
Once inside, the viral genome is initially still packaged within the viral particle or nucleocapsid, which protects and isolates it. To begin transcription and replication, the genome must be released from this packaging in a process called uncoding. Uncoding involves complex, virus-specific events triggered by the interaction between the viral structure and cellular signals, leading to the disassembly of the viral particle. This can happen at various locations within the cell, depending on the virus type, and results in either complete or partial release of the viral nucleic acids. For RNA viruses, the genome remains in the cytoplasm, while for DNA viruses, excluding pox viruses, it's transported into the nucleus.
Very clear. Thank you. After uncoding, how does the virus progress to the next stage?
Following uncoding, the exposed viral nucleic acids are used to synthesize essential regulatory factors and enzymes, and also to generate the building blocks like nucleotides and ADP needed for creating viral mRNA. This mRNA is then translated into proteins by the host ribosomes. The simultaneous production of viral mRNA and proteins marks the gene expression phase of the life cycle. At this point, the viral genome also starts to synthesize non-structural proteins necessary for its replication. As enough replication proteins accumulate, the cell forms replication centers, which are hubs where new viral genomes and proteins gather, allowing the replication phase to begin.
As the virus moves through gene expression and replication, what occurs during the assembly phase of the life cycle?
In the assembly phase, The newly synthesized viral components, including capsid proteins and viral genomes, come together to form new viral particles. Some viruses can spontaneously assemble based on the inherent properties of their proteins, while others might require helper proteins for assembly, though these may not be part of the final viral structure. The new particles each package a single copy of the viral genome, ensuring that multiple genomes do not end up in one virion. This leads to the production and accumulation of numerous viral particles within the host cell.
With the assembly complete, how do these new viral particles spread from one cell to another?
The final stage of the virus life cycle involves the release of the new viral particles from the host cell, allowing them to infect adjacent cells and propagate the infection. Enveloped viruses often exit the cell through a budding process, incorporating part of the cell membrane as they leave. Non-enveloped viruses typically cause the cell to lyse, releasing all the new viruses at once. Despite the differences in these processes, the outcome is the widespread dissemination of the virus, which can lead to further spread within the host.
It seems there's still much to learn about the nuances of these processes. Professor Williams, thank you for sharing your expertise with us today. Listeners, join us next week as we continue exploring the functions of viruses. Until then, take care and stay curious. Goodbye for now.